The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, was recorded on July 22, 2018. For more information about our church, visit us online at fbc-sav.org. We hope you enjoy the service.
Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It is good to see you all here. If you are a guest with us, I know we've got a few here from out of town. It is good to have you here, and good to have you here worshiping with us today. If you are from in town, and this is one of your first times here, it is good to see you as well. As a guest, if you will, at some point in the service, if you would fill out one of our guest cards that's in the pew in front of you, it lets us get to know a little bit about you, and we can send you some things about us as well. And as always, to those folks who are here week in and week out, the people we call family, the community that we walk together through this world with, and who we worship together, it is good to see you all here as well. And so let us all worship together. So if you will join me for this call to worship. Neighbors and newcomers, friends and strangers, strugglers and stragglers, pilgrims almost at the end of the journey, builders of bridges and fractured communities, those who stand on either side of walls of fear. Join with me as we affirm our faith together. The First Baptist Church confesses Jesus Christ as Lord on the basis of who he was and is and what he did and does. We confess him to be God's unique Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord of life. He gave his life even unto death, by God's will and for our sake on the cross. He comes again and again by the Holy Spirit to communicate himself to his people. His people are the church. We seek simply to be one visible congregation of Christ's church. We hold Baptist views about the Christian faith. However, we also rejoice in our Lord's gracious gifts to our fellow believers who are called by names other than Baptist. Happily, we count them as our brothers and our sisters. We live out our discipleship by taking seriously our commitment to each other and to the world. We share not only our words, but our money, our time, and our talents with our friends here and with all God's people everywhere.
First lesson today is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This concludes the first lesson.
Our second lesson today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting with verse 11 and ending in verse 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Here ends the second lesson.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. My wife Pam and I love the mountains. 2, 3, 4 times a year, we make our way there. Different mountains, but we have a fondness for the Blue Ridge in North Carolina and Virginia. And why is it that we like the mountains so much? Well, we like the land itself. I don't need to tell you about fall in the mountains, beautiful panoramic views of color. But fall is not the only season that's special in the mountains. In the springtime, the mountain laurel and the rhododendron are blooming. In the summer, it's whole fields of wild flowers. And even the winter, I don't want to live in the cold, but it's nice to visit, to experience a frozen pond, to experience ice sculpting, to experience a snow shower. We love the land, and we love the activity that goes with it. Pam and I both like to drive, and we really like to drive in the mountains. Till about 2 months ago, Pam basically drove a 2-seater sports car. That was our choice for the vehicle to go to the mountains. Up and down the hills, round the curves, even on the Blue Ridge Parkway where the speed limit is 45, it's fun in a 2-seater. We also enjoy hiking. Or maybe I should say, getting to the age that I am, we enjoy walking in the woods, walking to waterfalls. My wife has never met a waterfall that she does not love. Or walking to overlooks that you can't get to by automobile. We also love the history of the mountains. Strong people settled those mountains. It's interesting to learn about them. I've never met a historical marker that I didn't like. And after I check out the marker, if I really like it, I go to the nearest town and see if I can find a book that will tell me more. In addition to the land and the activity, we also like the people of the mountain. When we go into a small town, we'll go around to a store or whatever, and after a few minutes, we'll say to one of the proprietors there, "Where's the best place to eat lunch in this town?" Or, "We're only going to be in town for a day. Where's the best place to go? What place don't we want to miss?" We've found some wonderful sites due to their suggestions. And we've had some great meals. We also enjoy the artisans of the mountains. We are particularly fans of pottery and quilts. And we like the towns in the mountains. Ever been to Buchanan, Virginia? If you ever get there, be sure to go to the drugstore. It's an old-fashioned drugstore. On one side is the pharmaceutical counter. I bet you can guess what's on the other side. The soda fountain, of course. There's the counter. There's the revolving stools. Sit down, order a burger, order breakfast, and any time of day, you can get an ice cream cone. Pam and I love the mountains for the land, the activity, the people, but that's not what we love the most. What we love most about the mountains is what happens to us while we are there. As we ascend into the mountains, we can sense a change in our bodies. We begin to slow down. We begin to relax. As the days go by, the bags under our eyes begin to recede, and our sleep becomes longer and deeper. By the end of a week, there is a calmness and peace that has overtaken us. You can find us sitting on the front porch of our rented cabin, not watching TV, watching the sunset over the mountains. You can find us on Mount Mitchell, one of the highest peaks east of the Mississippi, looking down at the peaks that are lower and marveling over the majesty of God's creation. You can find us sitting on a park bench along the Blue Ridge Parkway, just watching the leaves fall. Something happens to us in the mountains. Not only does it relax us, but it invigorates us. In our upstairs hallway in our house, there are many photographs of us in the mountains. But above all the photographs, there's a plaque, and it reads, "The mountains are calling, and I must go." That is true for Rick and Pam. We sense that God is calling us through the mountains, and we must go to be refreshed and renewed and revitalized. Jesus trained his disciples. He taught them how to preach, how to teach, how to cast out demons, how to heal the sick. Jesus got them ready for ministry, and then he sent them out in pairs to practice all that he had taught them. Our gospel lesson for today begins upon their return from that missionary work. And our scripture lesson says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught." Can you envision the scene? The 12 apostles have come back in pairs. They've been out there preaching and teaching and healing and doing all that good stuff, and they can't wait to tell Jesus what's been going on. Peter speaks first, then James and John, then Bartholomew. They're all jumping in. It's all happening at one time. And while that's going on, Scripture says, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. There were lots of people. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for the disciples. They wanted their attention. They were looking for ministry. There's no doubt that that time was rather chaotic and noisy. And Jesus looked at his disciples upon their return, and he said to them, and I quote, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Now, you can guess what that verse means based upon what you've been told already. Jesus says, come away to a deserted place by yourselves. Let's get away from all this happening, all this noise, all this chaos. Rest a while. Take time to eat. Regain your strength. But there's more to that verse than just that explanation. You see, that term deserted place can also be translated isolated place, lonely place, the wilderness. A deserted place is a place where you go to be alone with God. A deserted place, the wilderness, is a place you go to encounter the living God. Then you put that with the term rest. Rest means more than get something to eat. It means more than take a nap. Rest means to be renewed, to be empowered. It comes from the same root word as the word Sabbath. You know that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the day of rest. Remember the day of renewal. Jesus is saying to his disciples, let's go to a place where you can be alone with God and be renewed for your life. And Jesus says this to the disciples because that's the pattern of his own life. When you read the scripture, watch what Jesus does. There are multiple times that he goes off to a lonely place. He goes off to be alone with God. And every time he does that, he comes back with the power to fulfill his calling. If you really want to see that vividly, read the Gospel of Luke. Before every major decision Jesus makes in the Gospel of Luke, before every major occurrence in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus always takes time for prayer. He always takes time alone with God. And that's where he gains his strength for life. So Jesus teaches his disciples the same pattern that he followed. Go to a place where you are alone with God and be renewed. Did you hear that? I didn't say Jesus said only to the 12. I didn't say that Jesus said only to biblical disciples. I said Jesus said to his disciples, all of them, even the disciples in this room here today. Jesus says to you, go to a place where you can be alone with your God and be renewed for the living of your life. With that in mind, the logical question is, where is this deserted place? Jesus doesn't give us any coordinates. There's no longitude or latitude. Where is the deserted place? Well, it's not one place. It's any place where you can be alone with God. Now, what I want to talk to you about in the concluding part of this sermon are three basic locations of deserted places. Three basic locations that I think each and every one of us needs to consider for our personal lives. The first basic location is one that is immediately accessible. If you have a need to connect with God, if you have a pressing need upon you, you don't need to be getting in a car and driving away 6 hours to the mountains. You need somewhere local. And that's why for a lot of people, a deserted place is in their home. I share mine only as an example. At the bottom of our bed, there is a sofa. And in front of that sofa is a table. And on that table is a candle and a Bible and a devotional book. That's my lonely place. That's where I go early in the morning to be with God. But just to show you how people are different, that's not the lonely place for my wife. Pam's lonely place is not in the bedroom upstairs, it's downstairs on the back porch. She sits in a chair and looks out the screens. She sees the garden that she planted that God has grown. She watches the sunrise over that garden. That's her lonely place. Do you have a lonely place in or near your house? You know, the Bible talks about a prayer closet. Some people have literally done that. They've taken a closet in their house, they've emptied it out, and they use that space as their deserted place. Some people have a bench somewhere on their property or their garden. Some people use the balcony of their apartment, and the list goes on and on. Do you have an immediate place that you can go to, that you sense and experience the presence of the living God? The second basic location for a deserted place is where we go on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant to be a day, meant to be a time when we withdraw from life and we make a connection with our God. I gather for most of us in this room, this is that place. This is your Sabbath deserted place. You come here to connect with God and be renewed and restored. But let's be honest with each other. We all know we can come into this room, we can sit here for an hour, we can go out of this room, and it all went in one ear and out the other. The challenge is while we're here to fully participate in the time we have alone with God. To fully engage ourselves in the hymns and the scripture, even listen to the sermon. And in that way, we can encounter God speaking to us and renewing us. The third basic location for a deserted place is an intentional retreat, somewhere where we go to get away. You know where mine is, the mountains. But not everybody experiences the mountains in that way. There are certainly other places for a getaway to a deserted place. How about the ocean? Tybee Island. How about that hunting lodge that you use? But you're not hunting for animals in this case, you're hunting for God. How about the old family homestead where generations before you grew up? Or how about wherever your motorcycle takes you on a Saturday? The third basic location for a deserted place is a place where we can get away to and spend concentrated time with God and find God renewing and restoring us. Pretty simple what I'm trying to say to you this morning. All of us, including me, all of us, need to develop deserted places in our lives. Places where we can go to be alone with God, places where God can renew us for the living of each day. And note that Jesus promises you will find rest in a deserted place. Amen.
Thank you.
If this is our deserted place on the Sabbath, if this is our quiet space on our day of rest, it is only natural that we should spend some time with our God in prayer. We will begin with silence, offering you the opportunity to privately talk with your God. I will then offer spoken prayers on behalf of all of us. With this in mind, let us be in a posture and attitude of prayer. O Lord our God, we remember. We remember the cross and the sacrifice Jesus made for the forgiveness of our sins. We remember the empty tomb and the victory Jesus won so that we might have life. We remember the Spirit and the gifts of love we enjoy every day. God, we remember. And we offer you our thanks. Know we are grateful beyond measure. Gracious God, in response to your goodness, we turn our attention to the needs of your people. We pray for the sick. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the homeless. We pray for those who are separated. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who have been forgotten. Lord, you love all. Help us to love like you. May we reflect your grace in our lives. Lord of the Church, we offer you thanks for First Baptist Church. We are grateful for the difference this congregation has made in the lives of the people who have worshiped in this space. Through this parish, you have given direction, purpose, joy, and companionship to all who call this place home. As we seek a new pastor, help us to continue the tradition of empowering people for life. Mighty God, we seek your blessing upon our nation. This is a time of division across our land. Help us to find and follow the path to healing, that once again we might be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we be a light to the world. Creator God, we offer you thanks for all the beauty of your creation. Mountains, oceans, forests, rivers, plains. Your hand has magnificently made all that is. Help us to always live in appreciation for the earth you have created. Enable us to always be renewed by the majesty of all that you have made. All this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. The shepherd, Jesus Christ, cares for us, providing all that we need in abundance. And this same Christ calls us to love one another in truth and in action. So may our gifts reflect our trust in the shepherd's care, and may our offerings show our willingness to love one another. Let's all pray together. God of love, you abide with us. You provide for all our needs and guide us in our ways. Out of gratitude for your care, we bring our gifts before you. So use them for your work of caring, that all may feast at the table of abundance, walk without fear, and drink deeply from the cup of compassion. Amen. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who wish to profess their faith in Christ or any desiring to join this worshiping community. Or if you would just like to come up and pray at the kneelers, you can do that as well as we sing this hymn together. You'll be seated for just a few moments, a couple of announcements, but also again, welcome to all those who are guests. It was great to have you with us today. We had friends from around Georgia, like Dawson, Georgia, and other parts of Savannah, and some guests from Norway as well today visiting us. So it is great to have you all here. A few announcements for this week. I should also say this past week was a great week for us. This past Wednesday, we had our summer bingo night, which was great fun. Even though we had like the deluge of the summer on Wednesday, it was still a fun night. And yesterday, some folks gathered together at the Ronald McDonald House and made dinner for the folks there, and that was a great time of service. This week, two things to keep in mind. On Saturday, the children and youth will go bowling together, and the children will probably beat all of their parents, and so that will be loads of fun. And tomorrow night, as has been happening this summer, the women of FBC are going to yoga tomorrow night. That has been a weekly tradition for them this summer, and so if you want to join them at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in Lewis Hall, it's a great time, I hear, and a lot of good time of fellowship and exercise if you want to join them. That being it, let us all stand.
listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.